Okay, today is Wednesday, April 8th. The time is 3:32 p.m. This is the time and place of the Public Art and Community Design Committee. I ask that our PAC-DC administrator establish quorum with a roll call, please.
See you, Jamil. Present, sorry. You. Adrienne Ackerman.
Here.
Alicia Vasquez. Anne Lopez.
Here.
Brendan Varela. Jacqueline Jean Barrios. Dusty Reyes.
Here.
Leanne Hernandez.
Here.
Lily Tate.
Here.
Jim Block,
Present.
Janet Fisher, Lizzie Golden,
Here.
Maureen Lewick,
Here.
Melissa Brown Dominguez, Nancy Fung, Nancy. I see you're in the room, but we can't hear you at this moment. I'll move to the next person. Valerie Sipp.
Here.
Wesley Cree. Logan Green.
Here.
Thank you. Nancy Fung. We still can't hear you, Nancy. I saw that you went off. Back on to mute and then off of mute, but we still have quorum without your voice indication that you're present.
But we'd
So you can
also love.
log in and log back out and then log in.
Yeah, because we'd love your voice in the mix of the meeting, Nancy. All right. Let's see. So, first item on the agenda is item number two. It's the introduction of guest and attendees. But we also have a new PAC-D committee member today. So, it's going to be a full round of introductions, taking a cue from our most recent chair, Jim Glock. Oh, Nancy's back. Can we hear you, Nancy, if you come off mute? I'm not hearing anything. Is it possible to enable the chat, or is that outside of?
No, because that would like create a sub quorum.
That's right. Okay.
I
I
see
can see you.
thumbs up. So she is in the room. I'll just indicate that she's here. But if you want to keep working on that audio.
Okay. Thanks, Nancy. Okay. Yeah, these things happen to the best of us. Want to welcome Logan Green, our newest member. And Logan, we usually have this opportunity at the top of every meeting to have guests and staff introduce themselves. So we'll ask for staff and guests first, and then I'll go down the roster of our members so you can get to know your fellow members on the committee. So staff and guests first, please.
I'll start first. Hello, everyone. Sadie Shaw from the Arts Foundation. I'm the administrator for the PAC-DC.
Hi, everybody. Wilwin Reyes, Director of Public Art, Arts Foundation.
I'm Yu Shiratori, the Public Art Collections Associate with the Arts Foundation.
I'm Gia Lupino, I'm the Communications Manager.
Hey, everyone. Ariel Fry, Public Art Project Manager.
And I think that leaves Adriana.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm having a bit of fun times with the video. So this is Adriana, CEO of the Arts Foundation. Great to see you all and welcome.
Thank you. And then I do see a few guests here. Maybe Desla Designs, Damian Klinko, if anyone wants to introduce themselves as a guest? Kelly?
I'm Damian Klinko. I'm the CEO of the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation.
Hi, we're Ashley and Sharir. We're the artists from Delsa Designs, and we're here to answer any questions y'all have about the mural proposal.
Hi, I'm Kelly Way. I'm the City of Tucson Cultural Affairs Manager out of the City Manager's Office.
Wonderful. What a robust meeting. I just heard a pop of someone maybe raising their hand, but I'm not seeing it.
Chair Ackerman, for the record, Janet Fisher has joined us at 3:38.
Oh, maybe that was the pop. Hi, Janet. Great. Well, thank you to all of our guests and to the wonderful Arts Foundation staff. It helps keep us supported and on track. I'd love to just go. This is a really robust meeting and we've got a lot to cover, so I'd love to quickly go through all of the PACD members and ask you to share your name, your preferred pronouns, if you feel comfortable doing so, who appointed you or which office you represent, and then also maybe just a very, like a smidgen of why you feel like you're here, whether you're an artist or just an appreciator of the arts, any background that you feel is relevant within, you know, a very short reason. I'll try to model that. My name is Adrienne Ackerman. My pronouns are she, her, Ea. I represent the mayor's office, Mayor Regina Romero, and I've been a PACD member for 3 years and some change, I believe, and very recently, just a couple meetings ago, became the chair, and I'm trying to fill the very big shoes of Jim Gluck. I am a performing artist and have a history in promoting arts and public health. With that, I'm going to popcorn it over to Jim.
I'm Jim Gluck. I'm the former chair. I am an Arts Foundation appointee, he, him. I have been advocating for public art throughout my career as public servant at the city and since I've been retired as well.
Great. Thanks, Jim. I'm just going to go down as I see folks on here. So the next on my list is Erin.
That's me, I guess. I'm Erin Durbind. I am from the Donovan Dean Durbind Supports Tucson Foundation, and we have our second public art project that we'll be presenting to you today.
Sorry, Erin, I should have had you introduce yourself during the guest portion. Apologies. Okay.
Now you know who I am.
Yeah, great.
I'll go ahead and go, Adrienne. Hello, everyone. My name is Leonard Nundes. I'm the co-chair of the committee, and I am a longtime advocate and art historian in Tucson. And so, I'm here at the serving Ward 1 on the west side. And so I'm just really excited to be in this space, and I look forward to working with you all. So I will popcorn it over to Ann Lopez.
Hi, I'm Ann Lopez. My pronouns are she and her, Thea. I represent Ward 4. I'm a fabric artist and a taiko drummer and a longtime supporter of not just Ward 4, but of public art.
Do you want to popcorn it to anyone, Anne?
I'll go. Hi, my name is Lizzie Golden. I was appointed by Selena Barajas for Ward 5. My background is in architecture, and I have been working in community engagement and community narrative design. And I will popcorn it to Gia. Are you Gia? You already went. I guess, Dusty.
Hey guys, sorry about my cactus photo. My video is not currently available. But my name is Dusty Reyes. I am a Tucson liver, and I wear many hats, but I am obsessed with murals. And in learning about the mural history in Tucson, I started writing a Substack about public art in Tucson. And a lot of people started reaching out to me about their thoughts. And through that two-year process, I have arrived here. So that is why I'm here, to learn about public art, contribute to being a good steward of public art, and continuing the legacy of public art in Tucson.
Dusty, will you share your Substack with us at some point? Send it to Sadie so she can send it out to the rest of us?
Sure thing. It's actually itdusty.com. So very simple.
Great.
It's okay. Dusty in Tucson is the title. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you mind popcorning it to another PACD member?
I would like to hear from Logan. Who are you?
Cool, yeah. My name is Logan Green. I am the director of Groundworks Tucson, and I am brand new to this committee, but very excited to be here representing Ward 3. Just a little bit about me. I'm a musician and an educator, and all around just weird guy. So I like to promote weird things and art and all sorts of other things. If you don't know, Groundworks is the nonprofit I run that works specifically with youth 14 to 24 year olds. So we work in the arts. That's a little bit about me.
Thank you, Logan. And I recommend if anybody's not yet had the chance to go to a show at Groundworks, it's a really wonderful space. Highly recommend attending. Let's see. Since Logan, you're brand new, I'll just pick the next person on my screen, which would be Lily Tate. Okay, Lily, I'll come back to you.
There I am. Sorry. Wrong buttons. Zoom, like you said, switch things around. Anyways, I'm Lily Tate. I teach ceramics at Tortolito Middle School, and I was appointed by Rex Scott, so Pima County District 1. And I'm also involved in lots of local groups, including the Arizona Women's Chorus, our concert coming up at La Rosa, Panama, anyways. So been on PACD maybe about 5 years now, since we first started kind of Zooming in COVID days. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Sam.
I'm trying to see who I see hasn't spoken yet. Having a hard time remembering who hasn't gone yet. So if you can give me a hint who hasn't introduced themselves.
Maureen or Adia or Janet.
Maureen, let's have you introduce yourself.
Okay, I'm Maureen Lewick. I was appointed by the county administrator, and I'm a colored pencil artist. Janet.
My turn. So I'm representing Ward 6. This is actually my second term on this committee on public art. And I have actually participated in choosing, I think, 3 pieces of public art so far throughout the city. My background is in commercial interior design. I'm currently a board member on a couple of different boards, but one of them that I have joined recently is the Mini Tie Museum. And I urge you all to go there if you haven't been there, because it's a really wonderful place. And we're working hard to expand some things there.
Great. Janet, do you want to pass it to someone else?
Oh, yep. Let's see who hasn't gone. How about Kelly?
Kelly's from the city and has introduced herself, but I think we have Valerie and Adia and...
Who else has it?
Adia.
Hi, my name is Adia. I am a fiber artist, and I run a nonprofit with my husband. I've been part of the community for a few months now. I don't know who hasn't gone. I'm sorry.
Okay, I think Valerie has not yet.
Hi, I'm Valerie Sipp. I use she, her pronouns. I work at the University of Arizona. I'm in Arts Foundation appointee. I studied art history. It's what I have my degrees in, and I'm born and raised Tucson, and so just very invested in the city and what it looks like.
Great. Thank you, everyone. I think that's everyone, right? I know. I don't know if Nancy, if your audio is working yet. You want to try again?
Is it working?
It is,
oh,
just in
God,
time.
Okay. I was appointed by the Arts Foundation. I've been on the board 4 years now. I'm a Tucson native and a local real estate broker in Tucson.
Great. Thank you so much. Okay, with that, we'll move on to item number 3, call to the audience. This is the time when any member of the public may address the Public Art and Community Design Committee members. Due to time constraints, the total time allocated for this is 15 minutes. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes each. At the conclusion to the call to the audience, members of the public body may respond to a personal criticism made by those who have addressed the public body, may ask staff to review a matter, or may ask that a matter be put on a future agenda. Please note that personal criticisms do not include criticisms of a policy, project, proposal, etc. Members of the public body shall not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during an open call to the public unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal action. So for the benefit of guests and new members, that's just basically saying that anything that a member from the public brings up, if we want to discuss it or take action on it, we need to agendize it, which means we need to put it on a future agenda. But if you feel personally criticized, you may respond to that in this time and space. So with that, Sadie, do you have any guests for us today?
Yes, Felix Lawrence has signed up to speak.
Great. Welcome, Felix.
Hello. Am I visible to the committee?
Your photo is.
Could you make me visible to the committee like all the other guests, please?
Is that something we can do on our end?
I promoted him to be a panelist.
Great. Thank you, Sadie. You are now visible, Felix.
Excellent. Okay, so what I'd like to talk about today is the Chavez statue at Five Points. Recently, it was doused in red paint. And this woman has made the best public art that I've seen in years. It is spontaneous, passionate, critical, and provocative. It's everything that our usual public art is not allowed to be. Now, we don't know who did this, but assuming her to be a woman is reasonable. Because she made her public art outside the city's control, the city moved decisively to censor her very quickly. Now, this woman has flipped this committee the bird and spoken for many women, including many on this committee. Ironically, the city moved to uphold this committee's authority and jurisdiction by ignoring this same authority and jurisdiction. As you know, the city has delegated authority to PACD through Directive 7 for public art donations and deaccessions. So the red paint would be a donation, and the deaccession would be the removal of the statue. Now, PACD has not ruled on either of these. So the city conveniently forgets that this committee even exists whenever it wants to steal back the authority that it has delegated to the committee. And the deaccession of the statue should have taken months, but it was done in a week. It's a done deal, and PACD, this committee, never had time to even consider it. It's a done deal, and now it's gone. Now, I'm not saying it should or should not be removed. Perhaps this committee would have agreed to on its removal, but the committee was not even involved in the deaccession. And will anyone on this committee or in the Arts Foundation stand up for the authority of the committee? That's probably unlikely. I believe you've been chosen to serve on this committee because you have no interest in the exercise of power. You have no interest in who exercises power or how, and it's sort of a spectator sport for y'all. Now, the last time this happened, the last time that the city conveniently forgot that the committee exists was back during the pandemic in 2020 with the Black Lives Matter mural that was painted on the street in front of the main library. This time, the city itself had something urgent and passionate it needed to say, so it ignored its own rules and painted a mural without this committee's authorization, just like our hero who put the red paint on the Chavez statue. So this time the city itself had something to say, and it ignored its own rules. And was this vandalism? I mean, legally? It's an open question. Of course, you all, the wallflowers who are on this committee, did nothing about it at the time. This led another group to try to get a paint a mural called Back the Blue in front of the police station, and it ended up being a huge tussle, and eventually the city attorney said, we're not going to have any more murals on the street. So all this just goes to prove that the city should follow its own rules for public art and just not and not simply forget that the committee exists. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you for your comments, Felix. Jim?
Yes, I just want to go on record that the person, his characterization that I take personally of us being wallflowers, I find offensive. And I think he should, Felix, I would appreciate if you'd refrain from characterizing any of us committees in that fashion. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Janet?
Hi, I recently attended a meeting. It was a mixer with other boards and commissions for Ward 6. And I was very surprised at how many people had questions about the public art and were concerned about it and had a lot of comments about it. I mean, there were a lot of, you know, I mean, all the environmental stuff and all the water stuff and all this other stuff, but the art seemed to be really important to people. So a few things came up. Somebody who was involved in 22nd Street and the public art there, which is tile, they were wondering what's going to happen to that because they're in the process of tearing up the street. The other thing that they said is that part of the public art were the bus stops there. And they said they're really badly in need of maintenance and maybe painting. And so I told them that I would bring this up.
Janet, sorry to interrupt, but are your comments pertaining to the call to the audience? Or the committee member activity reports?
Well, would that be considered committee reports?
I think so. But yeah. I'll let the chair detail it.
I don't really know, so I don't know how to answer you.
Yeah, well, I guess the question is if you, because the next item will be committee member activity reports. I'm really interested in what you were sharing about what you heard from constituents about their interest in public art issues, mm-hmm. and I'm wondering if there's anything that you were particularly wanting to respond to Felix, Mr. Lawrence's comments about right now.
Oh, no, not to him. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. No, that's okay. Do you mind waiting till the next item for the...
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great.
I thought
Thank
we
you.
Had moved on from that.
Oh,
sorry
Janet. So anybody else care to respond to the public comments made in the call to the audience? Or yeah. Okay. Well, I will just say I would also like to go on record that, you know, as a woman, as a member of this committee, you know, I'm not so sure that we can make any assumptions about the gender of the person that created that version of public art. And I will say that we as a committee are moving towards understanding more of what our purview can and should be. We have upcoming conversations with the county and with the city about what, you know, our committee and its purview looks like moving forward, its composition, everything. We'll hear a little bit more about that in the director's report. And I can speak on behalf of myself and Leanne that we have been in close communication with the Arts Foundation team and especially the staff that supports this committee about expanding, you know, our impact. And we're on that road. So I just agree with Jim and would ask that folks that take, you know, substantive issue with how we operate, you know, either offer us the chance to interact personally. I did respond to that email from Mr. Lawrence with that same statement and asked for, you know, some times that he and others may be available to discuss these concerns outside of this meeting. And just want to note that we are not wallflowers in that sense. And I, with that said, I am curious just from a technical standpoint, if the city, if there is a provision somewhere in the directives where the city can, under like emergency in moments where they feel like it, just yes, like make those actions without consulting the committee. I would just be curious about that. So I would like to ask the staff to review that for us and bring it back with some information to share. With that, we can move on, unless there's any other comments to Felix. No? Okay, great. Then we can move on to item number 4, which is committee member activity reports. And it sounds like Janet has some really interesting stuff to share with us.
Yeah, sorry, I misspoke earlier.
No worries.
In the wrong category, I guess. Okay, so I was saying that there are people that were really interested in some of the art that's out there and they had questions. So I think what, and I promised them that I would bring this up to the committee, like how these things get addressed. So I think that's what I'm doing right now. There were some other issues too and some, a few other points that they had, which one of them was they wanted to know why public art is mandated for federal and state projects, but not for private, which I guess in like Marana, I think maybe, or Oro Valley, they're actually doing that. So they'd like to know how to get that on the agenda. And so there were a lot of questions like that. So my question to you guys is, where does that get addressed?
Oh, that's a great question, because one of the things that we've been talking a lot about, and we've, as of the last meeting, I believe, made it, integrated it as a standing item for our larger meetings, is not just an update on the education subcommittee, but also kind of the outreach and education efforts of all committee members in terms of helping to educate the public on the public arts plan and our role as a committee. So maybe we can put that. I would encourage you to send, like, if you have those questions written down, to send them to the Arts Foundation staff, to Sadie, and Sadie, maybe there's some that have straightforward answers that we know about that Janet could take back to, I'm assuming you're having another mixer or another way to get a hold of these folks.
Yeah, they all gave me their cards because they want responses. And then I got emails from them too, following it up. So they're interested.
Nice. So yeah, I think if you email those questions to Sadie and Wilwin, if you want to CC myself and Leanne, we can try to make sure that those get either answered directly and shared with the rest of the committee in case those questions come up for folks, or agendized so we can discuss more if there's things that need a little bit more discussion. Does that sound right, Sadie and Janet? Is that?
That's good for me.
Okay, great. Awesome. So glad to hear that people were interested in how things get done. So for a little bit of context, Logan, this is like the item where any committee member can share, you know, any upcoming events that they have or things that they want to let remember, this is public record, so let the public know, and also your fellow committee members. And then we do encourage folks, if they are going to share an event, that they also, if there's a flyer attached to that event, that you send it to Sadie so that she can send it out to the rest of us. And that's just because we cannot, if we email one another and we don't like go via Sadie, then we risk like a forum issue. It's like a quorum issue. And so, that's how we do those things. So with that, is there anybody with any upcoming events? This would be between now and our next, monthly meeting, that you'd like to share. No events?
Let me just clarify. So these events are just maybe artistic events around town, personal events. What's the nature of the event?
So it's like, I'm saying events, but it's member activity reports. So as you just heard, like Janet was sharing less of an event announcement and more like, hey, I was out in the community and the community wanted to know about this thing. It could be like that. It could be like, hey, Groundworks is having this show that we really think would appeal to everyone, or oftentimes it's like, hey, the organization I'm on the board of is having a fundraiser, or, you know, things like that. So maybe we have another example from Lily here, or a comment.
Yeah, so I am part of the Arizona Women's Chorus, and we are debuting a really cool collaborative piece on the 25th and 26th at La Rosa. It's a piece that was composed by a local composer and local poet, and whose names are currently escaping me off the top of my head. But it's a really lovely piece. So debut of that and that collaborative work with our groups. And we would love to see you if you're interested. I'll send the flyer out, but it's also on LaRosa's website.
How exciting. LaRosa is such a great venue. Yeah.
So exciting.
Yeah. Great. Logan, did that answer your question? Oh, yeah. And do you have something to share?
Yeah, that's perfect. I'll go ahead and share just in case anybody's interested in learning more about Groundworks or what I do. We're having a sort of youth showcase at Club Congress on Saturday night of the 11th, so this Saturday. That's also a fundraiser for the space, but you can learn more about Groundworks there or come to any of our events. But I will email a flyer to Sadie.
Well, amazing. Thank you. And Lily, please also send a flyer before we forget. And then I will just share that Satterplay, which is a group, like a play-based mutual aid group that I started a little over a year ago. We've run our course and we're having the last Satterplay ever on April 18th, a Saturday, of course, at Doris J. Thompson Park. We are going to have a clothing exchange. We're having a zine release, which was actually a collaboration from between Satterplay and Outspoken Bookish, or Ames Meeks, who received a really generous START grant from the Arts Foundation to make zines with queer-led organizations. And we were one of them. So we have a zine release with mutual aid resources around the neighborhoods surrounding Doris J. Thompson Park. And we're going to have possibly the biggest memory dance chain ever. If you don't know what that is, just show up to the event. It'll be between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. And like I said, clothing swap, supply giveaway, lots of art supplies to give away as well. Anyone else? No? Okay, great. So moving right along, item number 5, the Public Art Director's Report. So Logan, this is a chance for us to hear from Wilwin around, it's like an overview and update on upcoming public art projects. There's usually a little bit of contextual information. It's always sent out as part of the supplementary materials before each meeting. And I'll just want to say like special thanks to Wilwin for handling so many sensitive topics in this issue with such care. And then before I forget, I did want to, when you talk about the public art opportunities for PACD members to be panelists and whatnot, I think it would be great to, if we could share a screen and show that survey, because it's much less daunting than folks may think, and just give folks a refresher of how easy it is to sign up for those things. And I was looking at it and the link that says what projects are you interested in being a panelist for on the Airtable form, the link is broken. So I just want to name that before we invite people to sign up for it. And I'm sorry, I just realized that before the meeting, but I wanted to mention it before I forgot. So Wilwin, take it away.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome, Logan. Glad to have you on board. Love what you do over there at Groundworks. Lily, congrats. That's really awesome. LaRosa's great. I went over the first time, like 2 weeks ago. Amazing venue. The dome structures really do something resonant with sound, and it's just an incredible space, and we're lucky to have something like that, you know, locally here in Tucson. I don't want to take up too much time because we have some guests on board. So I'll just address, I mean, I hope you got a chance to read the report. It went out last week. And essentially the comments about community engagement and this committee and how the city and county will be involved in the future is a discussion that's on the table. The county and the city are still working out some things, and we'll bring to light what that'll look like in the future. But I believe we will have representatives from both to discuss their views. And the goal is to see how we can also enhance our community engagement, not just to promote the public art projects, but how we can be better stewards of arts and culture in our regions. And regarding Cesar Chavez's works, I'm just going to read this verbatim from my report, just to keep it clear. I tend to paraphrase usually, and I just don't want to cause any confusion. So I'll just boringly read this to you. The city's recent decision to remove the Cesar Chavez sculpture is based on immediate safety concerns following vandalism to the sculpture. As the city stated, the city manager, in consultation with the mayor, made the decision to have staff remove the statue as soon as possible due to the vandalism and potential safety issues that the statue could present. The statue will be stored for now, and there will be a formal deaccession process as part of the city's public art collection. And that was an official quote. The mayor will address all Cesar Chavez works at the April mayor and council meeting, which was yesterday, if any of you listened to that. And following the city's directions, the artworks on city property, all artworks on city property depicting Cesar Chavez will be reviewed and processed for deaccession, relocation, or alteration through this committee. So I believe next month we will present this agenda item to the committee to form a subcommittee specifically for the Cesar Chavez works that you're all invited to be a part of, and then we'll start that process. So nothing's been formally deaccessed, but things have been removed for safety, things that have been vandalized, and we have already started reaching out to the artists, original artists of works that we know of, to ensure that we can bring them into that subcommittee when it comes in. In light of recent news and heightened public attention surrounding Cesar Chavez, we anticipate more robust level of public engagement throughout the deaccession process so that those most impacted have a meaningful opportunity to be heard. The subcommittee's role will include making sure community voices, especially those, did I just write that twice in there, already considered public art, exists in shared civic space, and decisions to remove or deaccess artwork carry social, historical, and cultural weight. They require careful and transparent handling to maintain trust and accountability. And if you have any questions or concerns, you can reach out to me directly so we can stay in dialogue and move forward with transparency and respect. And after that, can we share screen? Can I share screen, Sadie?
Can you request it? Because I'm looking for the button and it's...
Oh, there it is. Send request. Okay, hopefully you won't see anything.
Rowan?
Yeah.
Were you about to share, like, the upcoming art, panel opportunity?
I was just going to do a quick guide through
how
you can do it from the report.
May I ask, is it okay if we, just because we are already at 4:10, could we share that as part of item 9 with the education subcommittee?
Of course.
So that
of
we
course.
Can, yeah,
yeah
then
the
we
link
can
will still be broken, but we can show you the process.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you so much.
So that does it for me. Thanks, everybody.
Great. Thank you. I just want to make sure that, you know, thank you so much to our guests for your patience through the first part of this meeting. We're almost to your items. Are there any questions for Wilwin on that part of the director's report that was shared? No? Okay, great. Then with that, we'll move on to item number 6, review and vote on March 11th, 2026 meeting minutes. Sadie, could you please call us through a... wait, no, sorry.
Move to approve.
Thank you.
Second.
Ann Lopez moved to approve. Leanne seconded. Is there any discussion about the minutes before we take a roll call vote? No. Okay, great. And then just point of process, I think Logan is able to vote on this, right? Even though, correct. Okay, great. Wonderful. Okay, thanks, Sadie.
Adia Jamil?
Approve.
Adrian Ackerman?
Approve.
Alicia Vasquez? Ann Lopez?
Approve.
Brandon Brella, Jacqueline Dean Barrios, Dusty Reyes, Dusty, Dusty,
Wow, I'm really having issues. I'm approving them.
Leanne Hernandez?
Approved.
Lily P?
Approved.
Jim Glock?
Approved.
Janet Fisher?
Approved.
Lizzie Golden?
Approved.
Maureen Lewick?
Approved.
Melissa Brown Dominguez? Nancy Fung?
Approved.
Valerie Sipp?
Approved.
Wesley Cree? Logan Green?
Approved.
Thank you. And we have unanimous approval. I see that Jacqueline Jean Barrios just entered the room. And so let the record state that Jacqueline Jean Barrios entered at 4:13.
Great. Hi, Jacqueline.
I'm so sorry. Just completely forgot I was in the middle.
That happened.
But just wanted to pop in. Apologies. Yeah.
Thank you for being here. Would you mind quickly introducing, we have a new member on the committee. So we did introductions of committee members earlier. So we're welcoming Logan Green and as a representative from Ward 3 and the executive director of Groundworks. And so if you don't mind just quickly introducing yourself, which office you're representing and anything that you would like to share about your your relationship to the arts?
I'm Jacqueline Barrios. I'm an assistant professor of public and applied humanities at the University of Arizona. I do a lot of community engaged work. My research is on like urbanism, placemaking, the arts and the humanities. Kind of got involved through, I am representing Arts Foundation. I believe that's my role here. But I got connected through my work in the Sunnyside with the Sunnyside Foundation around their work restoring the murals in El Pueblo Neighborhood Center and just kind of started getting involved in public art. All that to say is I was looking at public art today at Mission Manor at Alex Jimenez's mural. So kind of do a lot of work, kind of engaging resilience, placekeeping work in the south side of Tucson with partners. So that's my jam. Thank you. And welcome.
Thank you.
And Chair Ackerman, Wesley Cree has also joined us at 4:14.
Were you all together? Hi, Wesley. We're about halfway through the agenda, but we have some guests on and we're a little past time. So we're just asking for a very quick intro because we have a new committee member. Logan Green has joined us representing Ward 3 and as the executive director of Groundworks. So if you don't mind just briefly introducing yourself and your role on the committee and your relationship to arts, we'd appreciate it.
Hi there. Sorry I'm late too. My name is Wesley Cree. I'm an artist based in Tucson, and that could be my short intro today.
Great. Thank you. Wonderful. So moving on to item number 7, the public art donation review and vote for the Exit 258 mural at Pennington Garage. Sadie, the minutes or the agenda have you as the Arts Foundation staff member presenting this. Is that correct?
Correct.
Great.
And so can everyone see my screen?
Yes.
Okay. So I'll just give a brief presentation and then I'll allow the applicant and the artist to speak. So feel free to let me know if anything is obscured in your view. Okay, so quickly the agenda. We're going to go over the donation procedures, the criteria, the steps the applicant has completed, and also more of the proposal information. These are the criteria that as PACTC members you'll be using to review. In your supplemental materials, I did submit the donation packet. Since I sent that out, this applicant has also been given approval by risk management. And so based on the donation packet, you can view their donation with this criteria about the appropriateness of the artwork. to its surroundings, to other artworks in the area or, you know, the neighborhood in general. Think about the location where it is proposed to be at, also the scale of the artwork compared to the site, and also any applicable neighborhood design guidelines. You also want to think about maintenance and production quality based on the design and all of the documents that you have received, like the community support document, the assessments by the city, and also risk management. Think about, is it durable? Is there going to be good craftsmanship in that fabrication for maintenance? Will it have good preservation or any issues with conservation in the future? And then also think about the intended length of display. This specific artwork is deemed to be a permanent artwork. To date, the applicant and artist have submitted their donation proposal, also three letters of support from stakeholders in the area. They received letters from Florist Concepts, who are you know, the group with the Monica and other restaurants in town, Park Tucson, Tucson Charlie Tours as well. They've submitted their maintenance protocol form and received signatures from the city and our collections associate. They have received approval by Council Member Schubert, as well as the Department of Transportation and Mobility. Their certificate of insurance was reviewed by our risk manager, and we received approval from them earlier this week. And right now, PACDC review is pending. On that first slide, you saw the proposed donation design. You could see a bit of it now as well. And just to go over some of those things in the proposal, the applicant is Aaron Durbin. The artists are Ashley White and Sharir Anand. It's proposed to be located at the Pennington Garage at 110 East Pennington Street on the west side of the garage. And that is directly adjacent to the pay machine. It's 12 feet wide and 8 feet tall. And then I will give the floor to Aaron Durbin, who can talk more about this specific design. And I'd love to also have the artist speak to, you know, maintenance issues and the design as well. Erin?
Thank you, everyone. So the design is a license plate, and that was my husband's license plate. And Donovan Durbin was the administrator for Park Tucson for 12 years before his death almost 3 years ago. But he had his hands in everything downtown for the past 30 years. So when we brought our first public art project to you all, it was the 6th Avenue underpass, with the postcard art. And, I had several people say, oh man, you should have done something with the garages. Well, Donovan wasn't just parking, but we ended up raising enough money that we could do also a mural. So this is what we propose. And exit 258 is the exit you take off of I-10 into downtown, the west side, and the downtown proper of Tucson, Arizona. So I thought it would be appropriate putting it at the garage on that wall next to the pay kiosk going into Pennington Garage, which was where Donovan's office was with Park Tucson. And just encouraging everybody, you know, again, visit downtown Tucson. Everything was in downtown was important to Donovan, whether you came down for a festival or for dinner or just to enjoy the downtown area. So that's what we came up with. I gave the license plate to our artists, Ashley and Sharir, and this is what they came up with. And I adore it. So if you want to, if you have any questions, let me know.
Thank you. And I know the artists are present. Would you like to say a few words as well?
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having us. Yeah, we just want to say how honored we are to that Erin asked us to do this beautiful mural for her. We think it's really meaningful, and for us, the best part of our job, designing and painting, is murals and artwork that has meaning behind it. So it's really special for us to be asked. As far as the design goes, we were really happy to design something that has this dual meaning of, you know, Donovan, who contributed so much to that area, but also even apart from that story, supports Tucson in general and folks coming downtown, so, which is what he would have wanted. So we feel like those who knew him or those who understand what Exit 258 means will appreciate it from that perspective. But also, if you are, you know, are a visitor to Tucson or don't know the story behind the mural, people will still get something from it because it says visit downtown Tucson and it has the skyline there. So we wanted to kind of make it appeal to everyone, whether they knew the source of the inspiration or not, and whether they were, you know, they live in Tucson or not. And then design.
Nice people do not want to make it about themselves. They wanted to make it about.
They can hear you. It's on speakerphone.
I'm saying that, you know, when we spoke with them, that they're very nice, quiet people, and they did not want to make it about him and him only. It was more about his vision and idea and what he spent his dedicated his life and time to just, you know, bring more light to downtown and bring more awareness to it and make it more vibrant. And that was one thing that we noticed, that was very kind of them as a family to respect his legacy in that manner, where it's not about the person, but about what they were all about.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Appreciate it. With that, just curious if there are any questions or comments before we entertain a motion.
And real quick, we have Stephanie in the attendee list. I know Stephanie is a part of the Durbin family. Stephanie, if you accept my promotion, you can come into the room, and I can also, yeah, I see she's joining us here in case she wants to say a few words.
Welcome, Stephanie. If you would like to share it all before we entertain a motion, you'll just need to come off mute.
Yes, I see that now. Okay. Yeah, the last few words got cut off as I was being connected, but thank you for the welcome. And I think Erin has said it well, and I really appreciate what the artist had to say too, because Donovan was my brother and my youngest brother, and I miss him terribly. But I'm really grateful for the Tucson community embracing so much of what he had done and the desire to honor his legacy. And I think one of the artists said it so well, that it wasn't for us as the foundation members just to keep bringing Donovan's name up and all that and promoting him. Well, it's important to us for his legacy. However, also, that's exactly, I think, what he would have wanted. Anything that helps to promote downtown activity, the whole revitalization movement and all of that, is something that he would want to have continued. And so we are very happy to be able to give our resources and energies to doing that as well. So that's pretty much what I have to say. But if you have any questions, please feel free to ask.
Thank you, Stephanie.
You're welcome.
I do see Janet's hand raised.
Yep. So I was noticing that in the packet that Ward 6, the council member, has to approve this. Have they already done that? They have?
Correct.
Okay. That was my question.
Great. Thank you. And I think my only question is, I really appreciate how the artist explained that the foundation and family members didn't want to necessarily center that one lived experience, and that the context would be appreciated by those who, you know, if you know, you know, kind of. Mm-hmm. I'm curious if there was any consideration of an informative plaque, there are informative tidbits on the 6th underpass, and I'm just curious if that was a part of this process at all.
There is, if you see very small in the very lower left-hand corner, it says in loving memory of Donovan Durbin painted there. But otherwise, no, there's no plaque or other description.
Okay. Well, as someone who loves to know the history behind public art, I would just personally encourage maybe considering that for the future, and because it would be nice to be able to see the story of who this person was that was being lovingly honored. But with that, I will ask I'll entertain a motion for the approval of this donation.
Move to approve the donation of the Exit 258 mural.
Thank you. Moved by Ann Lopez. Is there a second?
I second.
Great. Thank you, Janet. Mm-hmm. Any further questions or discussion?
Are we allowed to comment on the design at all? Or no?
I think in so that's much as, well, yeah, this is a that's an excellent question, Lizzie. So, like, our directives are to, Sadie, could you possibly pull up that slide that shows kind of the context in which we are considering approval or not? So this is one, this is like one component, Lizzie, is the donation criteria is what we are charged on evaluating. So it includes what Sadie covered, like the appropriateness of the artwork in context of its surroundings, the relationship, the durability, like all of those things are like officially under our purview. And I will say that we have entertained conversations about other designs in the past with donated art. For example, there have been issues that have come up around cultural and ethnic representation. There's been, questions around design elements that members would like to see included. And so we are absolutely able to entertain those discussions and those comments, and also, oh, sorry, was someone saying something? And then also just keep in mind that, like, we are not participating in design by committee, and we're not going to request specific design elements officially as a committee that don't fall under the purview of, like, what we're charged with approving. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, so happy to entertain any comments that you have, but
no, I don't think it would pertain to us. So
okay,
thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. Any other questions, comments before we move to a vote? Okay, Sadie, would you please support us in a roll call vote?
Okay, Jamil. Adrian Ackerman.
Approved.
Alicia Vasquez. Ann Lopez.
Approve.
Brandon Varela. Jacqueline Jean Barrios.
Approve.
Dusty Reyes.
Approve.
Leanne Hernandez.
Approved.
Lily Tate.
Approve.
Jim Glock. Jim?
Approved.
Thank you. Janet Fisher.
Approve.
Lizzie Golden.
Approve.
Maureen Lewick.
Approve.
Melissa Brown Dominguez. Nancy Fong.
Approve.
Valerie Sip.
Approve.
Wesley Cree.
Approve.
Logan Green.
Approve.
Thank you, and we have unanimous approval.
Awesome. Well, thank you again so much, Aaron, Stephanie, to the artists. Really appreciate you being here and conceiving of and implementing this work.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your approval.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
We are super excited. Very excited to start painting. Thank you all.
Yes. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you. All right. Thank you to everyone, too, with your patience. We are moving on to another big item, and that is item number 8, the relocation or deaccession, that word is hard for me, City of Tucson's HCD property sculptures and mosaics. And this is specifically relating to the Charles Clement turnkey sculptures in the South Park neighborhood. And I'm going to invite you to share with us a bit about this item. And I will just quickly say that, when I first joined this committee, I didn't really understand the deaccession process. It's been really interesting to learn about, and it can happen for a number of reasons. It can be, I think when I first joined, somebody had run into an artwork that was impossible to repair, and there had to be a deaccession process around it. And I just want to name that this is a this item and what's being considered is like a complex topic with a lot of differing opinions on either side. And it's like a really exciting deaccession process and with some pretty big implications. So I'm really excited that we're going to get a presentation on it. I'm excited that we have guests in the room. And I'm also just going to request that we all remain mindful of how far we are over the time allotted for the previous items on the agenda. So with that, Yu-Yu, take it away.
Hello, everyone. Can you all see my screen?
Mm-hmm.
Share it big here. Okay. Yes, thank you, Adrienne. This is just a study item and just to update everyone as to what's been going on with the Charles Clement artwork. This is what we see here is a cast of concrete created in 1970. So a brief overview of Charles Clement. He is a modern mid-century sculptor. He's created a lot of important civic works around Tucson. Notable ones are El Presidio Fountain right in front of City Hall. There's also a big integrated artwork that is attached to the administrative building at the University of Arizona. A little bit of the public housing overview that's related to these sculptures. In 1970, Charles Clement created a series of sculptures for an 80-unit turnkey housing project. The housing project units were scattered throughout South Park neighborhood as a new approach to integrating public housing into this area. The sculptures were placed on the property of low-income housing units designed to arouse pride in the neighborhood through aesthetic expression. So although there are many sculptures associated with this project, it was noted that the pieces are considered like one giant sculpture. They're just in different areas. And this information is, the source of this is a Smithsonian Art Inventories catalog. So we are in the middle of the deaccession relocation subcommittee. And so this is, again, just like an update for everyone. The request came from the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation. It was stated that between 1995 and 2006, during the redevelopment associated with the South Park public housing area, the sculptures were removed from their original locations and setting without consultation with the Clement estate and Clement family. A little bit of an overview of where the sculptures are located. And this is, again, updated information. So there are a cluster of objects at 35th and Park. So this is the black dot towards the bottom left. There are four scattered around the walking perimeter of Silver Lake Park. And there's a single object right at the corner of Silver Lake Road and Fremont. So right next to Mirasol Park. These are the eight objects at 35th and Park. The one outlined here in red is damaged. So these are behind fences. The two cubic ones at the bottom left are not fenced in, but these are the ones at 35th and Park being considered for relocation and deaccession. So just a little bit more detail shots of the objects that we're looking at. These are along Park Avenue, and since you can only go southbound on Park, if you drive by 35th Street and Park, you will see these. And again, additional artworks on this property. So we are moving along to Silver Lake Park. These are four of Clement's sculptures that have been scattered throughout the park. This one here at the very the top right corner of Kino. Sorry, I guess that would be the southeast corner of Kino and 35th Street. Southwest of Kino and Silver Lake Road, sorry. So you can see this flower panel sculpture right on the corner of the park. These two brown benches are more on the, I guess it would be like the perimeter, the walking area of the park, and can be accessed through if you walk through the park. And this green one is situated closer into the neighborhood. And this is a newer development, is this one situated near Mirasol Park, Silver Lake, and Fremont. This one is largely intact and in pretty great condition. So here are all of these sculptures that we will be reviewing at the next meeting. So you can see that they are like a great collection of artwork by a significant artist in Tucson. So here's a request to remove the artwork from city property from the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation. They respectfully request that the city of Tucson return the surviving Clement sculptures from removed during the South Park redevelopment to the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation for proper conservation, interpretation, and long-term stewardship. Reinstallation is proposed at the Bondante House, designed by Clement in 1956 and now owned by the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation. Here, the artworks can be preserved, contextualized, and publicly accessible within an architecturally and historically appropriate setting. This action will ensure that Clement's public artworks are cared for, consistent with their artistic significance, and restored to an environment that reflects the intent, integrity, and legacy of the artist. So this is the formal request that we are still looking over, considering all of the sculptures at the next Duke session meeting. We had at this second meeting, the relocation Duke sessions subcommittee, the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission was referred to for expert opinion. And the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission is a joint advisory board for the city of Tucson and Pima County. And they address all matters related to historic sites, preservation zones, and historic landmarks. So in March, the request was reviewed by two subcommittees, the Historic Landscape Subcommittee and Plans Review Committee. And these are two subcommittees under the Historical Commission. The Historical Landscape Subcommittee, this is taken from the Legal Action Report. The discussion focused on significance, integrity of the group of sculptures. Commissioners motioned that given the significance of the work as the work of Charles Clement and diminished integrity of the ensemble as a whole, the remaining sculptures would be best served by relocation to the Bondante House, where they would be appropriately maintained and be viewed by the public. Additional opinions and recommendations from the subcommittees. This is from the Plans Review Subcommittee. This is a summary of what was discussed. There wasn't a motion or anything, but there were thoughts and recommendations on how to preserve the artwork. One of the topics discussed was the artist's intent and integrity. It was mentioned that the sculptures are significant but have lost their integrity because they are scattered, damaged, and removed from their original context. And as individual objects, they no longer represent the artist's intent. There's a concern of stewardship. They had said moving the artworks to the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation is recommended as a viable way to ensure professional repair and long-term care. There were concerns about equity and public access as well that was brought up. There's strong hesitation regarding the removal of public art from an under-resourced neighborhood into private stewardship. And this is something that came in recently from the South Park Neighborhood Association. They had requested that of course the turnkey sculptures be preserved, but within the context of the neighborhood, noting their importance to the South Park neighborhood across three areas. They mentioned the artistic significance. The sculptures represent a rare and vital example of historic public art within the neighborhood, providing value in an area where few installations exist. Historic significance. The pieces serve as a physical timeline of the community's evolution. They originated from the turnkey public housing, the turnkey housing project, a major federal urban renewal effort specific to the area in the late 1960s and 70s. And practical significance. Beyond their symbolic value, the sculptures serve functional purposes. They stated that the only benches in Silver Lake Park, which are part of the remnants of the original project from Clement, provide seating for the residents and users of the park. They had requested that the neighborhood's interests be considered for any future plans and formally asked to be included in all discussions regarding the fate of the sculptures. And so, yeah, these are the objects that they were referring to specifically in Silver Lake Park. And here's just another quick outline of the deaccession relocation process, because it is a little bit opaque and the word deaccession makes it even a little bit more difficult to understand what's happening. But this is a top level overview of the process. A request comes in. We have formed a subcommittee after we had reviewed the request. And so we are in the stage right now of the PAC-DC subcommittee reviewing input evaluations and everything from the Tucson Historic Commission, as well as community input. So thereafter, it will come back to PAC-DC for a vote on the recommendations from the subcommittee. So the next meeting is April 20th at 1 p.m. And that is all on that. And so thank you for listening to that presentation.
Thank you, Yu-Yu. And before I open it up for questions, a couple of clarifying questions of my own. One, that next meeting, which is when again?
April 20th. And we haven't sent out any of the agenda items or meeting link.
Okay, but am I correct in understanding that any committee members can join that meeting? They just unless they are on the subcommittee, they are not able to vote. Okay, great. So if anybody's interested in joining that, in attending the meeting, you can learn more at that meeting as well. And then my other question is, because I did see, and thank you, Sadie, for forwarding that letter from the South Park Neighborhood Association. I know it came in today, so I appreciate having that available to all of us. And great summary on that, UU. I'm just curious, was the South Park Neighborhood Association invited to be a part of the committee? Did anyone from that association participate in the committee?
We've had two meetings so far. Sadie, I don't remember. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think it was only two meetings. I wasn't able to get a hold of them immediately. So they will definitely, they're invited and will be invited to the 20th meeting for sure.
Can they at this point participate as members of the subcommittee?
They will be invited to provide input, but they will not be voting members.
Okay, just those were my clarifying questions. I know we have guests here that may want to offer some comment, and I know that we also have committee members that might also have questions, and that we are getting close to five. So I just want to make sure everyone keeps that in mind as I open it up to comments and questions. I guess I assumed we had folks that would want to make comments or ask questions.
Point of clarification, I just want to make sure that the subcommittee members that were in attendance get to speak on behalf of their committee first, oh. if I'd like to, and that's Jim and Anne.
Thank you, Owen.
And me, Wesley.
Ed West, sorry. I forgot you were in. You came back in today.
So Jim and Wesley, we'll hear from you as you desire. And then Damien, I did see your hand come up, so we'll get to you after that.
Thank you. This has turned into quite the intriguing and complex question for us to address. I want to, first of all, applaud the Tucson Historic Foundation for the extraordinary amount of work that they've done to date. They are taking this very seriously. They are really looking out for these pieces, and I wish that it was a simple process to just go forward with their recommendation, and I appreciate their patience as we work through some of the issues that are being raised with respect to that. Given UU's presentation, I would ask that if board members have particular concerns or issues, that you forward them to Sadie to then be distributed as appropriate. We will be taking this up again on April 20th, and we are gathering additional information. I don't want to get ahead of any deliberations until it's appropriately agendized and dealt with on April 20th. So with that, again, I do want to just point out that the Historic Commission is really looking out for these pieces, and the issues that are being raised are I'm sure very frustrating for them at this point, but I just ask for their perseverance and patience as we work through the process that UU has outlined for us. Thank you.
Great. Wesley, Anne?
I can jump in. So in the previous meetings that we've had, there have been some concerns that have been raised by others, and concerns I also share just about how we interpret contextual appropriateness for these works. And in previous presentations about these works, there's been some additional elements of information that I think are would be interesting to for everyone to know and consider. I know when there was sort of a review of the City of Tucson Public Art Collection in the last 10 or 15 years, I don't remember the date, the 8 sculptures that are on the 35th Street location, they were valued around $125,000 at that time. So these are valuable in a multitude of ways, and contextually began in the South Park neighborhood. In addition, the Bondante House is located in a totally different part of town. I can't remember. I believe it's off of Rosemont, more kind of north midtown area. And the Bondante House, while I, from my understanding, is open to the public for events, some events throughout the year, will also be used as a short-term rental when there aren't any planned public programs occurring there. And so it seems like the conversation around context is been the most dynamic one here for me, and just trying to wrap my head around how removing the works from the neighborhood that they originated in and putting them in a completely different context in terms of like how they will be interacted with by people and who they'll be interacted who will interact with them. That's a top concern for me. And also as stewards of the city's public art collection, the precedent that might be created for works to just be claimed by interested parties. So there's a lot of dynamic questions around this. Thank you.
Thank you, Wesley. Anne?
This is probably the thorniest issue that's going to come up to this committee. And my concern is there at this point, the city has no plans to acquire these, to have a place that will give them context, a place that can save them and can restore them to, they're obviously, they're extremely beautiful. If you walk by there, don't just drive by there, walk by there and look at how impressive these pieces are. And I'm concerned that there's, I don't see any place that there can remain context and integrity for these people, for these pieces in that neighborhood. I don't see any plans coming that would allow that to happen. So I can see the preservation. I can see the relocation. It hurts me to think about them leaving the neighborhood. So I'm like everybody else on the committee. Too many things to consider, too little time. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne. I want to open it up to our other guests who are attending to comment on this topic. Damien?
Thank you so much. And I just want to thank the committee, and I want to thank the Arts Foundation staff. You know, we've taken this very seriously. We first notified the Arts Foundation of our concerns, both that the sculptures were effectively abandoned at a boarded up site, as well as other works of art that are on the site that haven't even been addressed by the committee. So with all the urgency around this, there's also additional artworks that have not been considered that we also think really should be. We don't have a solution for those. We came with a conceptual plan that we thought would help resolve some of the very serious integrity issues that have happened because these works have been damaged, disorganized from their original concept, painted, and a host of other loss. There's a lot of things that have happened to them. I do also just want to say, you know, we brought this to the city's attention and to the Arts Foundation in July of last year. And until 2 weeks ago, and I haven't been to the site in 2 weeks, but 2 weeks ago, smashed one of these sculptures for being so precious and being such of value and to have this discussion. It remained on the ground, unsecured, with pieces fragmented that anyone could just come and take away. And, you know, to me, that really is representative of sort of the overarching concern with all of this, that from the moment that we brought this forward, there's been very little effort to actually, for all the, you know, conversation about their value and their importance and the, you know, urgency around finding a solution or keeping them in the neighborhood or moving them to a different location, there's been no official action to work to actually ensure that there's not continual loss. And I think that to us is one of the most disturbing parts. And this came, just so the committee knows, this didn't just come from the blue where we were like, oh, let's go find a solution to relocate some artworks. This is not an optimal choice for us. We began a survey after we finished the restoration of the Bondante House, and the Charles Clement family donated all of Charles Clement's art archive and design archive to the Preservation Foundation. We began a survey of his public work around the nation and in Tucson. And the city of Tucson actually had multiple works of art, including a sculpture that was housed at the Reed Park Zoo. And when we made inquiries onto what happened to that work, it was reported after a series of meetings, and there has been no conclusion on what actually happened, that sculpture, that significant sculpture, precious sculpture by Charles Clement, was discarded around 2020, 5 years ago, 6 years ago now. And so the city has not, through its management of its public art, demonstrated any concern around these, around some of these objects. And that really was, and out of that, we did a survey of this. And even as part of our survey, we've discovered, you know, we went out and did windshield surveys, and we identified additional works that were in scatter sites. The city of Tucson did not do that work. And so it's been troubling that for to hear that it these are, you know, so valuable, so precious, and yet they are not being conserved or cared for. That's really the ultimately like our because and in fact the fact that this is even like I you know we're even concerned just even that this particular meeting is happening as opposed to the subcommittee process that was occurring. So like this got agendized for this update as opposed to the continued subcommittee work per the administrative directive that then would send a recommendation to this committee. So it creates all this additional conversation, you know, with every cycle, new opinions, and it makes it very challenging to not go through just the very formal process that the Arts Foundation it follows through the administrative directive. So that's our comments. And again, this is not our optimal outcome. Moving sculptures is not something that our organization takes lightly. It's not something we'd want to do. But we, you know, we see this as one of the like few options to be able to save these works from further destruction.
Thank you, Damian. Thank you. Yeah. And I just want to acknowledge that, you know, we really appreciate any individual or organization that is seeking to preserve and protect public art. And I think that part of the reason, and Will, and I'll get to you in just a second, but I think part of the reason it was agendized, I requested it as well as it being an issue that I think we have such limited time in our monthly meetings that we wanted to make sure that everyone had full context and the opportunity to join to learn more before it comes back to the committee for a vote, because it is such a complex issue from a public art standpoint. So just naming that, and Willen.
Hi. So I just wanted to address that specific last part. This is a standing meeting monthly, and this specific agenda item was to provide the larger PECUC with an update based on the reviews from the historic commission that the subcommittee was privy to. In addition to that, and this is where we got a little bit out of order, is part of this agenda item is to discuss the introduction of the mosaic components at that site for consideration for relocation usage.
Thank you, Owen. Any other comments, questions? Kelly, on behalf of the city, I'm not sure if you're just here to observe or if there's anything you want to share. Oh, you're off mute, but I cannot hear you.
How about now?
Yes.
Okay, that's the magic of I'm here primarily as an observer, and I can say that the city, you know, appreciates this committee and the subcommittee doing the work that y'all have been assigned to do and feel like you're doing a great job with it. We don't want to stand in the way of any decision making that is taken on by the subcommittee and this committee. And I'm just here to sort of stay informed.
Thank you. Any other committee members, Lizzie?
So I'm going to be speaking to Councilwoman Barajas soon, and I've watched the TPCH meeting and have sort of been listening in, and I've been a part of the Preservation Foundation for many years, and I believe very strongly in what they do and what Damian does and the whole team there. And it's a really difficult situation because even now getting the residents from the South Park community writing an open letter and how they're feeling about it, and that's really what struck the biggest concern. And also that seemed to be like a big concern with the TPCH plan review committee. So I think, you know, I'm just curious, and sort of the point that I keep hearing from the foundation is that the city isn't good stewards, which is obvious. So now with so many eyes and people, you know, aware of the situation, I'm just trying to see if there is another way. I've listened to the arguments that, you know, the estate won't work with the city if it was to contextualize it within the neighborhood. Like there isn't a clear plan on conservation from, you know, from the different materials, that they're so far gone that they, that the estate wouldn't accept these pieces if they were to be recontextualized. So it's a little bit of a gray area why they would become recontextualized within a private property and why it wouldn't be if it were to be relocated as a collection and re-narratized or, you know, put into the neighborhood. So then that whole history that we've been so privy to now, the whole history of Clement and the history of urban renewal, you know, this seems like a great opportunity to bring this story to the neighborhood that clearly, you know, now with that open letter does value, even though they don't have the resources or the where, you know, the understanding of what this process looks like. I guess the question is, why is there a way that the foundation or the state would be open to a conversation about the, you know, the conservation of the pieces and recontextualization within South Park?
Damian, feel free to respond to that. And I'm sorry, I'm just going to say that we'll try to keep this kind of response short because we know that this will be further discussed at the subcommittee meeting as well.
So, Lizzie, thank you very much for the question. I mean, I think that it comes down to sort of like three major issues. One, there's been significant loss and modification to the sculptures, which bring into question whether they really are a work of Charles Clement. And I think that's something that the estate has alluded to. The preservation, the Tusumpima County Historical Commission plans review, and I think more importantly, the landscape subcommittee who took an action, they took up this exact question. Was, you know, how do you reconcile this type of problem where an artwork has been damaged but still has, you know, we talked about this, like individually these individual elements have integrity. We see that. I think everybody on them in the presentation sort of outlines that integrity. But because it was a singular work where 25% are missing, it's lost its integrity. It's like if you took a painting and you sort of chopped it apart. And so, you know, I think the landscape subcommittee who took this up, they said, oh, well, its significance is derived from the artist, from the actual personage of the artist. And this property that the foundation owns, which, you know, I mean, again, we're working to designate it as a local landmark, to have it regulated. We're willing to, you know, look at, explore options. It's connected and its significant comes from its connection with Charles Clement because he designed it and it's the only sort of property connected to that. And so their recommendation, they saw the reconnection with that site as a way to provide interpretation and help restore that loss of integrity. Is there another location? Sure, but I mean, I think the Preservation Foundation and the Charles Clement Estate, and I can't speak for them, have to have something to respond to. You know, what we know is that the city of Tucson is preparing to sell the site. The site would have likely been sold with those objects on it had it not been for our raising this concern. And so for all of us, again, you know, it's like everything is, you know, everything is in.
Damien, this is not the space for this conversation. This is a subcommittee.
I'm just trying to respond to the question. I mean, I incredibly
understand,
complex.
But there's a time. And I'm going to just, okay.
Yeah.
Well, so if we can continue, because this is a update for the committee and a voting action item for the mural components. Just a point of clarification.
Okay, thank you. And I just wanted to give Damian the opportunity, since we were inviting questions, to respond to that. And I think this is a great pitch for anyone who is interested in learning more or being a part of the conversation, even if you can't vote, to please attend that upcoming meeting on April 20th. Yu, would you please arrange with Sadie to send out that information again to the whole committee, just because I think it bears repeating, so folks are aware of the opportunity to join in the discussion? Would that be okay? Okay, great. Thank you. I know we need to move on to the action part of the mosaics. I really look forward to hearing about more participation from PACD committee members as well as the South Park neighborhood. Thank you so much to the guests who came and participated in answering those questions and sharing with us. And it looks like you're going to present some more.
Yes. Sorry. Okay. So we'll, I guess, hop on to the next agenda item, which is going to require an action, a vote. And I will share this quickly here, and I'll try to move quickly but thoroughly for this. Thank you all for being here past five. Okay, so this is the same location, 35th and Park, as the Clement artworks. The images that we see here, the mosaic murals, are created by Gonzalo Espinosa and Alex Garza. This is they're a series of mosaic murals created in 1995, and they're in relation to the Hope 6 Arts and Culture Partnership building, which it's not that right now. So Espinosa and Garza are Tucson-based artists known for their collaborative public murals, public art, murals, and ceramic works. They often focus on community-driven projects, and they have worked extensively in South Tucson with notable projects including community mural design and public art installations with mosaic tiles. And so here's an example of the works, and here to the left is a close-up view of the site. This is the location that we had looked at with the Charles Clement's works, but this is focused on the mosaic artwork that is embedded into the building. A little bit of the project overview and how the artworks came to be. Hope 6 was a program of the Department of Housing and Urban Development during the 90s. It was intended to revitalize the most distressed public housing projects in the U.S. into mixed-income developments. In 1993, Job Training Program in the Arts was established, and artists Espinosa and Garza mentored 10 local youth in design and fabrication of 103 mosaic murals. Each panel measures 3 by 3 feet, and the mosaics represent a collaborative community milestone of that time. Up where you know this, 35th and Park, that's where this building is. So here is a little bit of an outline of where these artworks are. So we have the three, this would be, I guess, just like a collection of three here to the right, directly under the street view here, series of human figurative forms floating in space. Here at the very bottom corner is a depiction of puzzle pieces in their 6 mosaic panel form. And to the top right is the, it's a series of mosaic panels that's artistically composing the corner of this building. So it's like hugging this this corner here. We have the, this would be if you're looking north facing at this property. This is an old street view image of the property. So you can see that the two mosaic panels with the yellow background, they straddle the entranceway for this parking lot. And here you can see that the Charles Clement artworks are situated on this property. The two that enclose the entrance of the parking lot are intact and in relatively good condition. And then the one to the right of the furthest right panel is missing. Okay, and so if we step inside the property, imagine that we're inside of the parking lot area, the area where it is highlighted in this region. On the other side of the wall are these mosaic panels. So we have depictions of these forms here, and they are relatively in the one in with a red background is is in fair condition. The other ones are in good condition. So if we peer our head around the corner of the wall that we were looking at previously, we see another mosaic artwork that depicts the Palestinian flag. This is intact and good condition, and there are two additional spots that have missing artwork. And so in the series of inside of this property, there's a series of areas where you can see that there's a space that was supposed to house mosaic tiles. Some of them are missing, and I'm pointing out the ones that are still intact. So if you go all the way to the back of the property, we have a series of three mosaic panels that are attached to the, again, the, I guess, the exit way of this this building around the perimeter of the parking lot. And so these are all inside of the property. And just a little overview of the guidelines. Again, this will help the deaccession relocation subcommittee, and we'll go over this again. But the deaccession will only be considered after careful and partial evaluation of the artwork in context of the city's collection as a whole. We will be looking at professional judgment, public interest, and which should inform the decisions. Reasonable effort will be made to notify any living artists. Deaccession will only be considered after 5 years that has elapsed from the date of installation for permanent works, which these were installed around 1995. So we're in the clear for that. And again, here's a relocation deaccession process. This kind of came adjacent through the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation. And so we're doing the project overview for PACDC. Subcommittee for the relocation deaccession review. And so from there, we'll come back to PACDC and it'll move through the hierarchy for voting. And that is all that on this artwork. Thank you all.
Great. Thank you, Yu-Yu. Are there any questions?
Just a point of clarification, what we're voting on right now is just begin the process so that the evaluation and such can be done. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you for clarifying that. And just to further clarify, this is just about the mosaics, not about the turnkey sculptures that we were discussing previously. So with that, I will entertain a motion.
So moved.
Thank you, Leanne. And a second?
I second.
Wait, who just said that? I'm sorry, Lizzie?
Sorry, Lizzie.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you, Lizzie. All right. Any other further discussion before we move to a roll call vote? No? I promise we're almost done, folks. Really appreciate your patience. All right, Sadie, can you lead us through a roll call vote, please?
Yeah, Jamil.
Approved.
Adrian Ackerman?
Approved.
Alicia Vasquez? Ann Lopez?
Approved.
Brandon Varela? Jacqueline Jean Barrios?
Oh, approved.
Dusty Reyes?
Approved.
Leanne Hernandez?
Approved.
Lily Tate?
Approved.
Jim Glock?
Approved.
Janet Fisher?
Approved.
Lizzie Golden?
Approve.
Maureen Lewick?
Approve.
Melissa Brown-Dominguez? Nancy Fung?
Approve.
Valerie Sipp?
Approved.
Wesley Cree? Wesley? Okay. Logan Green?
Approved.
And then, Wesley, are you still in the room?
I don't see Wesley here anymore.
She's left.
I will indicate that she left during this agenda item. So we have unanimous approval.
Great. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. And thank you, Yu-Yu, for walking us through all of that information. Okay. Logan, just for the record, we rarely go past 5 p.m., but I want to say thank you so much. We actually rarely go past 4:30 p.m., I feel like, but I want to say thank you so much to everyone for your service and attention, not only on this committee in general, but for these big topics. We have one more. Oh, Jim, are you raising your hand?
I have to leave, I'm sorry, but I think that was the last action item, so I think you're good.
It is the last action item. It's not the last item, so.
No, I understand. Hopefully.
Will we still have quorum if Jim leaves?
We will.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
A great day. Okay, we're going to move on to the next item. This is an update on the Education Subcommittee, and we will probably be like renaming this item in the near, not so distant future. We had, just for context, for newer members, we had established an education subcommittee maybe a year ago that consisted of just three members. It was those of us who were really interested in digging into, like, what is the actual, some of the things I mentioned at the top of the meeting, like, what is the actual purview of the committee? What are our roles as members in the committee? And how can we help support the Arts Foundation in amplifying the opportunities that they provide for engagement in public arts, both to community members to serve on panels, but also to artists, and to reach a bit more deeply into some niche communities that we may represent or have contacts with. So that's how it started. We also wanted to really understand, like, the administrative directive around, like, what is the public art plan? You can imagine, as a subcommittee of three people, it was sometimes hard to find, to get quorum when we were meeting like every few months or so. And two of us are also like your chair and co-chair at this moment. So we thought that it might be not only beneficial for the whole committee, but more effective in terms of making sure that we are coordinating our efforts and really like engaging and making this opportunity to serve on this committee increasingly meaningful for all of us, and in terms of like what we can give back to the community, to the Arts Foundation, et cetera. And so we are making this a standing item wherein, yes, if there is a larger issue that like a subcommittee needs to address around education and participation and engagement, then we will have, we're still determining whether it's like quarterly or maybe just twice a year, education subcommittee meetings where we can go a bit more in depth into these issues. Or maybe there's something that like the whole committee has brought up a few times and we're like, hey, we really need to dive into this or come back with some sort of suggested action. That subcommittee meeting would be a place for that. But this standing item month to month going forward is going to be an opportunity for us to review the calls for engagement that Wilwyn includes in the public art director's report, and to activate one another and to have some like shared accountability and find out like what are we each going to do to amplify these opportunities, maybe to the offices that appointed us or to any communities or organizations that we have connections with, and to check in with one another on a month-to-month basis about like how those efforts are going. This is also tying into the larger conversation we had about trying to define like what are our goals for the coming year when we filled out our committee report for the end of year report for the clerk's office recently. So I was hoping we'd have more time today to go in more depth. We do not, and I'm not going to keep us much longer, but just I'm planting the seed. We're going to hear from Wilwyn very quickly and hear about the opportunities that were included in the director's report. And he is going to then show us how you sign up for that and just how easy and accessible they've made it with this beautiful Airtable survey, and then just planting the seed for next month's meeting. I'll be asking, okay, who did you share these opportunities with? Are you considering a committee? You know, what's holding you back? If not, what could facilitate it? How do we make participation irresistible? Those kind of questions and that sort of discussion is where we'll land next month for that item. Before I turn it over to Wilwyn, I just want to see if there's A, any questions on that, and B, Leanne, if there's anything you'd like to add. Oh, okay. great. Also, just kind of want to gauge degree of enthusiasm around that. Does that sound interesting to folks as a committee moving forward?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, great. Seeing some head nods. Awesome. I'll ask next time if it does not sound interesting, and maybe we can open up discussion then. But for right now, I'll just pass it over to Will Wynn to tell us about the opportunities available right now.
Thanks, Adrian. Yeah, I think it's best if we just push this to the next meeting when we have more time and consideration. There are no new calls coming out except for the roster call, and after that, there will be three roster projects coming out. So I think having a bit more time with it to be intentional about what we're doing might be a better action for this late hour.
Okay, and then we'll have the link fixed by then, and we can show people how to fill out the form. Great.
Yes, exactly. That was okay. Amazing. I don't want to bring people into a link that takes you to a 404.
Okay, sounds good. Well, with that, just the last item is number 10, a request for additions for future agendas. Is there anything that folks want on an upcoming PACD committee agenda? Okay. Well, then I will say thank you to everyone again. I hope you go run and get a much needed bio break. This meeting is adjourned at 5:23 p.m. I hope everyone has a wonderful day and rest of your month.
Thanks, Adrian.
Great job, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.